She was murdered.
Hello.
Welcome back to Not a Monster, Not a Boogeyman.
Yeah,
hello.
Hi, I'm Janae.
I'm Naomi. And today we are covering Ed Gein.
Woo, Ed Gein.
Yes, the Butcher of Plainfield.
Ooh.
Yes, that is his title.
Fantastic.
So, this guy, he's not a serial killer that most people talk about. Like, you think of Manson and Ted Bundy and things like that. Most people don't consider Gein because of just how old this case is. He is ancient.
But it's fucking creepy nonetheless.
Yes. Like, his story starts in 1906.
Wow.
That's when he was born.
I guess I didn't realize how old the case is.
Yeah, it's... When I say ancient, I mean ancient.
Is it a U.S. case?
Yes. Wisconsin.
Oh, great. That's good. There's not just cows. There's murderers, so...
There's Ed Gein.
There's Ed Gein.
He is kind of like a stain on that city. Like, people do not like talking about him. A lot of people, when this came out, like, there were reporters that were flocking around.
Yeah.
And... It was a huge deal. And at first people wanted to talk about it, and then they realized that this is not a good thing they wanted their town known for, so they stopped talking about it.
Too late now, bitches.
But they are the birthplace of people called Geiners, and this, like, the first, kind of, like, morbid jokes that people would tell,
mm-hmm.
they all spurred from Eddie.
Oh, Eddie.
Oh, Eddie. So.
I guess we're just gonna jump on into it. I don't have anything, do you?
Nope.
Alright,
this will be a quick one.
Let's do it.
So, Ed Gein. His full name is Edward Theodore Gein. He was born in 1906. And, as I said, he is known as the Butcher of Plainfield. But he actually only officially killed two people. Even though he is considered a serial killer.
Weird.
Yes. But he is the... 100% definition of mommy issues.
Mmm.
Yes, this is going to be that fun part.
Love that.
So, his parents are George and Augusta Gein. George was not really remarkable in any sense or form. He was just kind of like a half-assed farmer that was drunk all the time, didn't hold down any jobs. Couldn't really run a farm, and just spent most of his life drunk. His family all died in a flash flood when he was very young. People would tell him, oh, you probably should have died with him. So
wow.
He's been fucked since the beginning.
Great.
It set up his life. Augusta.
Mommy issues.
So, she is the... like, nail into you hardcore religious.
Mm-hmm.
Like, would scare her children through religion. And it was horrifying.
Great.
And she fucked up her children this way.
As most people do when they're super hardcore religious with their kids.
Yeah, it's like she's the type that would yell at you on the street and call you a whore.
Great.
Yeah, if your ankles were showing. You're a slut.
How dare you show your ankles? It's going to be so distracting.
You're a harlotin. So, George and Augusta, they had two sons. There's Henry, who is Edward's older brother, and then Ed. Augusta hated her husband. Like, absolutely hated him.
Why are they married?
Apparently, she liked him because he was tall. And she was just kind of like... that will make a good father for my children. And then just snatched him up.
Great.
Yeah, so she liked his silhouette. And then was like, yeah, I'll marry that, I guess. And then he turned out to be a raging alcoholic. And there's instances of him coming home drunk. And she would be, like, shouting at him, calling him a drunk. And he would, like, heavy air quotes here, beat her. But not really... he would just kind of do, like, the, like, slapping kind of thing, mm-hmm. and she would just, like, scream at him. Like, this lady probably could have, like, broke him in half,
mm-hmm.
but he was just, like, half drunk, kind of, like, pushing her around, not really beating her.
Right. Still domestic violence, still not.
Yes, still domestic violence, not accepted. But he would do this to the kids also. So it had a toll on them.
Mm-hmm.
Since he didn't have a job most of the time, Augusta actually ended up, during this early 1900s time frame, opened up a grocery store in mm-hmm. town, which is pretty impressive.
Right.
And she ran this for a couple of years before she eventually sold it, because she wanted the family to get out of this town, because they weren't yet in Plainsfield, because she believed that this town was sinful and full of whores and not a good place to raise her children.
Literally anywhere.
Yeah.
Anywhere.
So they sold this, and they bought a 155-acre farm just outside of Plainsfield. So they are the typical little house in a field in the middle of nowhere.
Okay.
The typical horror movie stuff you see. And she used this isolation to her advantage to further isolate the children. Anyone that would come onto the farm, she would run them off, and if they could have any impact on her children, she would threaten them and make sure that they could not have any contact with the children. The only time they were allowed to leave was to go to school. So they would go to school, come back, work at the farm, and then sit down with her to read the Bible.
Hmm.
So, at any time that Ed or Henry would try and make friends at school, she would yell at them, she would berate them, and Ed was already kind of considered not the manliest.
Mm-hmm.
He would cry a lot. He was considered like just a really soft child, mm-hmm. really delicate child. But he would cry at everything. He would just be, and he would like cry about things for like days and days. One topic. If some kid made fun of something about him at school, he'd cry about it for days. And that was something mm-hmm. that his father really hated, which probably tied into the abuse a little bit. But I did find a few sources saying that Augusta also abused the children, not mm-hmm. just mentally, but, Ed later on in a interview with a psychiatrist does mention that one of his earliest memories is falling down the stairs as a toddler
mm-hmm.
and his mom reaching down and grabbing him and pulling him up the stairs, but immediately yelling at him like it's his fault that he fell down the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
But he says there is a deep part of him that felt like she had pushed him down the stairs in the first place.
Okay.
So I'm like, is this gaslighting? This feels like gaslighting.
Yeah, that's, like, this is some gaslighting.
This is very light gaslighting, which only gets worse. So, as I said, the mom was very religious. She was Lutheran, and she would preach to the boys that the world was immoral, drinking was evil, and all women, minus herself, of course, were whores and tools of the devil. So, to be in cahoots with a woman was to be in cahoots with the devil himself.
That lady sounds like so much fun at parties.
Yeah, obviously. Well, and she only gets worse.
Great.
Only gets worse. But every afternoon, she would bring them inside, sit them down around her rocking chair, and read to them verses from the Bible. And it was usually like the Old Testament, like the really graphic verses mm-hmm. that she would tell them about that had to do with murder and death and retribution, just to scare them.
Mm-hmm.
Which is terrible. My mom used to read me the Bible every night. Not a fan. But even at school, a lot of people picked up really weird mannerisms from him. Like, he would laugh at very weird times, like, as if he was hearing things that other people couldn't hear, and laughing at his own jokes, which is already the sign of a really weird psycho kid.
Yep.
He would kind of be smiling when people were talking about, like, if someone died, and it was just really weird. Like, the teachers always commented that he had very weird mannerisms, and a lot of the kids always just thought he was very strange.
Mm-hmm.
Because he would also wouldn't keep eye contact with anyone when he was talking to them. He would have to, like, glance off all the time when he was talking about topics.
That's weird.
So he would laugh at inopportune times, not keep eye contact. Things like murder or death didn't bother him. And, like, if somebody in the town died of a heart attack or, like, in a deer hunting accident, which is apparently very common there, he was just kind of, he would, like, laugh about it like it was a joke.
That's weird. Like, his affect didn't match what was actually going on.
No.
Great. No. That sounds like a totally normal stable child.
Yeah. Not something we should be worried about at all.
Not
like,
at all.
An elementary schooler. Because he only went to school until 7th grade?
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think great. That's when they stopped going to school, because he had to work the farm. Again, that could be incorrect. Someone please correct me if that is not right. But, yeah, since he couldn't make friends at school because of his mother, his social development didn't really happen. And even though he got really high scores in reading, he was always very interested in reading, he was very, very alienated. So it caused a lot of social issues, since he was also bullied because he was, he had a slight physical abnormality. His eye would droop a little bit, and because of his weird actions on top of it, people would just bully him. And so he only had imaginary friends.
Great.
And just like from my mental health point of view, I'm automatically like, lack of fulfillment, lack of social cues.
Right. I wonder Let's where go this from there. Is going.
But yeah. But his father died of heart failure due to his alcoholism when Ed was 34.
Okay.
And both he and his brother were still living with the parents at the time. This is apparently really normal for the area. They actually ended up living with them until their, like, early 40s.
Wow.
But Ed was 34, and a lot of people were saying that he was happy to die because he was away from Augusta. And that it was horrible to be married to her, because all she would do is berate him all the time, so he died with a smile.
Dave, could you imagine hating your wife that much?
No.
Yeah, like, why the fuck did you marry this person?
I wonder if she, like, trapped him and she was like, oh, you know, this is great, we're gonna be happy, and then the moment he, like, was tied down and they were married, she was like, nope.
Surprise! I'm a bitch.
I'm a bitch! God, that's terrible. I wonder if that's how, like, most people feel their marriages are, the people that always make those, like, oh man, I'm gonna get chained down to my wife now. Like, I wonder if that's how they feel.
I've literally never understood those jokes. Like, oh no, you asked your lady to marry you and she said yes!
Yeah.
Now you're chained down to... It doesn't make any fucking sense.
Why the fuck did you ask? Yeah, why'd you ask to marry her if you hate her so fucking much?
Right, the, like, ball and chain thing.
Exactly.
I, like, told Clay, I'm like, don't you ever fucking call me that. I am not that.
Yeah. It's like, if you're unhappy with me, then don't stay with me.
Right. So again, surprise!
I'm a bitch! So, there wasn't really much that the father was bringing in income-wise, since he couldn't hold down a job or really do anything. But Ed and his brother ended up taking up these odd jobs all over town to kind of try to help with any expenses at home. So they both were known to have a really good reputation. Like, Ed would babysit people's kids, he'd be a handyman, he'd go and help out wives all over town with any, like, you know, even just changing light bulbs. People trusted him so much to come into their house. They were just like, oh, that's just, you know, weird Gein, weird Ed.
You know? I'm concerned right now.
Like, they're just like, he can, you know, he's just a little weird, but he's overall a nice guy. People, you know, they didn't see anything wrong with him.
Till they found skulls in his living room, you know.
But apparently people actually really liked him as a babysitter because he could relate to the kids a lot. And the kids really loved having Ed over. It was, like, amazing when Ed would come over because he would, take the kids out to watch movies. He would, take them to baseball games. Like, he was the cool babysitter in town.
It's so fucking weird.
But, you know, he said that he felt like he could relate to the children more than he could relate to the adults.
Also weird.
Yeah, strange. But his older brother Henry, started to date a divorced mother of two. And he was, like, really concerned with how kind of attached Ed was to their mother.
Because,
you know, anytime he would talk about their mother, he would say how perfect she is, how amazing she is, what a wonderful mother she is, and he could see her with no wrong light, that she was a saint. So Henry at times would kind of talk badly about her around Ed, and Ed would just get very, very angry at him and hurt. Some people say that Ed probably revered his mother this way because it was a way to distract him from just how badly she abused him. So subconsciously he knew that she was terrible and he hated her, mm-hmm. but consciously he loved her.
Right.
But in 1944, so they're a little bit older at this point, they were burning away some vegetation on the farm, and the fire got out of control. And it was a very, very large fire, so it ended up bringing the fire department. And while they were getting the flames under control, Ed reported that his brother was missing. So they called for a search party, and when the search party arrived, Ed was able to lead them directly to where his brother was. And he was found face down in the brush. He had no burns on him or obvious injuries, but he had died. And they thought that it would have been asphyxiation from the fire, mm-hmm. but they found bruises on his head.
Police didn't think this was weird?
Apparently they thought, like, the family had already suffered a loss so closely together of the father and now the son, mm-hmm. that they were just like, you know, whatever.
But, wait, 1940s cops are the best.
Apparently. But they thought at first he suffered from heart failure, but then they saw the bruises, so they just said it was asphyxiation because of the fire. But
it wasn't. Good old Eddie.
They don't have any confirmation on if he actually killed it, but...
Like, you led directly to his body. It's fucking weird.
Yeah, but, but shortly after this, Henry's death, their mom actually had a stroke. And it left her mostly paralyzed. So Ed ended up kind of taking full-time care of her. And because she couldn't do anything, he was, you know, at every single one of her beck and calls. But she would still berate him, call him a weakling and a failure.
Wow, so she was mean until she died.
Yeah. But, I don't know, there was, he was trying so hard to take care of her, to, like, get some sort of appreciation out of her, to show her that he was needed and that she could count on him, and even then she was like, no, fuck you. You're terrible.
God. poor guy.
But I did find a few sources. I don't know how real they are, but they said in a few sources that there's times where she would be mean to him, and then there's other times where she would, like, invite him to come over and actually, like, lay in bed next to her, and she would just tell him, like, what a good son he is. And I was also like, that's even creepier gaslighting. Yeah. I don't like this.
Super weird.
So, I'm on the one of, like, I really hope this part isn't real and that these sources are just incorrect, because I just don't want the image of, like, him as, like,
a
grown-ass man crawling into bed with his paralyzed mother. yeah. No.
I don't like it.
But, you know, and how I told you that it just gets even more fucked up with his mom?
Yeah.
So, a little bit later, she got a little bit better, and she decided to accompany Ed to a neighbor's farm, because they needed to go buy some hay. Mm-hmm. And when they got there, the farmer started beating the farm dog. But a woman, some sources say it was his wife, another one to say it's a woman, came out from the farm to tell him to stop beating the dog, but he didn't listen and ended up beating the dog to death right in front of Ed and his mother.
That's fucking weird.
But when Ed was talking about this later on, he said that his mother was not disturbed by the brutality of the dog beating, but rather the presence of the woman. And she, when they got back, said that those two weren't married and that she had no business being there and was calling her a harlot and was just angry that this woman was there. A lot of sources did say that this woman was the farmer's wife, though, and that she just confused. She was confused and thought that this was some other woman that he was not married to. So
even that's none of your business, sis.
No, it's not.
Calm the fuck down.
But also, why are you more worried about who this random farmer is sleeping with and not the fact that he just beat an animal to death in front of you?
Right. Like, she's like, no, that lady, harlot.
Harlot.
Like, what?
I think the reason maybe she wasn't as disturbed by the dog beating, even though it's really fucked up. Don't beat your animals. That's fucked. She used to help her husband slaughter animals behind, I think that some say it was behind the farm, some say it's behind the grocery store. She would help gut the animals and just in general clean out the animals.
Mm-hmm.
And Ed was never allowed in that shack because why would you expose your child to that?
Right.
But he snuck in one time and saw his father holding up a strung of pig, mm-hmm. and his mom was disemboweling the pig and cleaning it out, and he made some sort of sound, and she turned around. He said that the image of this gutted out bleeding pig and his mother standing next to it with the leather apron covered in blood and a knife was forever ingrained in his brain.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
That's wild.
I'd be a little fucked up if I saw my mom just doing that.
Yeah.
Let alone if I had to, like, stare at this disemboweled animal. That's one thing. But now my mom's standing next to it.
Right.
That's a whole other set of issues I now have.
God.
So I think that's maybe why she wasn't as affected by this dog being killed. Still fucked.
Super fucked.
It's one thing for a farm animal. But shortly after this, she actually had another stroke that ended up killing her. God was just really trying to get rid of her at this point.
Well, she sounds like a terrible person, so.
He was sick of her shit.
Stop telling my teachings wrong.
Yeah. So, she died at the age of 67, and at this point, Ed is 39. Okay. So, it was devastating to him because now all of his family was dead, and the one person that was kind of like the pillar of his life, as tyrannical and abusive and terrible as she was, is gone. And at her funeral, apparently he was like hysterical and people said that he was crying like a small child.
Well,
then what do you expect from all he
Mr.
had?
Mommy issues?
Yeah. Again,
it's about to get worse, I'm sure.
When I tell you what he has inspired at the end of this, like what media, you're going to be like, oh my God.
Why did
course.
I not know that? I'm excited.
So, after his mom died, he kept the family farm, but any rooms that Augusta used to live in, he sealed off.
Okay.
He nailed them shut, so hit her bedroom, all the upper floor, the lower parlor, and the living room, he closed them, and they were kept untouched and pristine up until he was arrested. But the rest of the house, which was basically just the kitchen and a little side room, he lived in, and it fell apart. Like, it was dilapidated. It was completely just disgusting.
Destroyed. Okay.
He, after his mom's death, became fascinated with adventure magazines and cult literature. He specifically focused on Nazi medical experiments. And,
of course he did.
Yeah, and novels about cannibals.
That's
so he wanted to.
Good.
Yeah, he wanted to know all about the medical experiments, the concentration camps, what they were doing. And I was like, this is the first time that you've had a chance to read anything but the Bible freely, I'm guessing. But why do you have to gravitate to those first?
Right, like the first thing is the worst thing you could find.
Yes, you have a full, you know, library to your. Yeah, and you choose that.
Of all the things you could have chosen, you chose the wrong one.
You chose Nazis. but, yeah, he started having an obsession also with intimate female anatomy. So this is also fueled by any porn magazines, medical encyclopedia, horror films, things like that. And when he was at the bar, people started mentioning that he would talk about really morbid things. He would have really morbid humor, find things funny that weren't very funny, and he had very dry humor. But he would also mention every once in a while articles that he read about sex change operations, because there was a pretty big case right about this time of, I think, the first, one of the first official sex change operations.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, that's a big part of, like, after her death, he just kind of went downhill very, very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But in 1957, Bernice Worden, who was the owner of the local hardware store, went missing. The store truck was seen leaving the store at about 9:30 a.m., and the store ended up being closed the entire day. And most people thought this was because it was deer hunting season, which is a big, huge thing for that town.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everyone, all the men, would go out in groups to just go hunting, and it was very, very common for people to have hunting accidents, and so people thought the store was just closed because of hunting season.
Mm-hmm.
But later on, her son came home at about 5 p.m. after going hunting and found the cash register open and blood on the floor. When the detectives arrived, he told them that Ed Gein had been in the night before and would come back that day mm-hmm. to order a gallon of antifreeze. And sure enough, the last receipt that they found was for a gallon of antifreeze to Ed Gein. So they found him and arrested him the same day. And when they went to go investigate his farmhouse, they found all the fucked up shit he did.
Great.
Yes. Bernice was found in the back room of his home.
Mm-hmm.
She was decapitated, hung upside down from a crossbar at her ankles and ropes on her wrist. She was dressed out like a deer, which basically means he removed all of her organs.
Mm-hmm.
And this is normally done to, like, with actual animals.
Right.
To keep the meat from decomposing too quickly, and to keep the meat from spoiling. Even though he has been confirmed to not be a serial killer, or not a serial killer, a cannibal. Kind of weird. But fortunately, it looked like she had been shot and killed before all this mutilation took place, which is a really fucked up sentence of, at least she was shot before, you know.
Right. But, like, that's some horrible...
Yeah, I don't want to be decapitated while I'm alive. I don't want to be disemboweled while I'm alive. Like, just at least do me this one solid.
Do me one favor and don't kill me like that.
Yeah. Side note, I would love to just not be killed, period.
Right.
But if I had a choice in what horrible, gruesome way I'm going to get murdered, not that way. But this next part is going to be pretty graphic, just a warning, so if you want to dip out, now would probably be the time. But in the house, they found human bones and fragments, a wastebasket made out of human skin covering several seats to the point where some of the chairs looked like they were upholstered in human skin, skulls on his bedposts, female skulls with some of the tops sawn off, where the bowls, they were made into bowls for soup. He made a corset from a female torso, skin from the shoulders to waist. The police refer to this as a mammary vest. Leggings made out of human leg skin. Masks made from the skin of female heads, where he kind of just filleted the skin off and kept it... I hate the word. He kept it supple by rubbing...
That's a horrible description.
That's what they use, and I hate the word. he would rub gasoline on the skin to keep it supple, and he would apply lipstick to it, and he would wear these masks. He had human heads hung on the wall, along with 9 death masks, which were the skinned heads, and he would stuff them with newspaper and mount them to the walls, like... deer heads.
What the fuck?
Oh, that's not even all of it. They found the face of a woman named Mary Hogan in a paper bag. They found Mary Hogan's skull in a separate box. Bernice Worden, who's the one that's, you know, left out to dry in the side room, her head was in a burlap sack, and this is during the kind of winterish months.
Mm-hmm.
So when the police were going through the house, they said the only reason they knew to look in the burlap sack is because there was steam rising from the sack because it was still warm.
Still warm? Oh my god.
And this is a really fucked up detail on that, because I thought it was someone being edgy and adding this, but no, this was actually in the police reports. In her head, he had inserted large nails into the ears and connected twine, so that way he could hang it on the wall as a decoration.
What the fuck? What the fuck, Ed Gein? Oh my god!
Her heart was found in a plastic bag in front of the stove.
I don't like it.
This is about to get worse. There were 9 vulva in a shoebox.
Oh my god. Okay. That was hard. Woo! Okay, continue. Jesus.
There was a young girl's dress.
I'm sorry. I'm really hung up on the vulvas.
Oh, no. I sat there for a moment and I was like, I want more explanation. They gave more explanation later.
Oh, God. Okay. So, okay. All right. I'll just...
good. So there was a young girl's dress, and this is in quotes. The vulva of 2 females judged to have been about 15 years old. Like, reminder, he says to have only killed 2 people.
Right, so where the fuck are you getting 15-year-old vulvas?
A belt made of female human nipples.
Right. Pretty gross.
Yeah, that's probably the most well-known part of this case, is the human nipple belt.
Right, not the multitude of vulvas that was found in his house.
What would you rather hear about, though? Nipple belt or vulvas?
Literally none of it. I'd rather hear none of it ever again.
He had 4 noses in a box.
Great.
Just the noses.
Here's my nose box.
it's like, do you mean your Kleenex box?
No. No, no, it has noses in it.
Okay, I'm gonna leave now, Ed.
Ed? This is really weird, and I don't know if we can be friends now.
He's had people over for tea every once in a while. I'll be like, oh, what's this shoe? Oh my god, Ed! What, you don't like my vulva collection?
No, Ed!
I have 2 more over here. They're a little bit younger if you like those.
Oh my god.
No, Ed!
Just go! Jesus.
Okay. He had a pair of female lips on a window shade as, like, a drawstring to open the blinds.
That's fucking weird.
He had a lampshade made out of the skin of a human face.
Great.
He had fingernails from female fingers. Just the fingernails.
Just the fingernails.
Just the fingernails. He had a table propped up with a human shin bone.
Great. Oh, it's wobbling. Just stick that under there.
Of course.
Perfect. Everyone just has an extra human shin bone laying around.
Oh, yeah. I use it to prop up my couch.
Yeah. Perfect. I'll get one for the chairs over there by the bar. Perfect.
Maybe you can make them taller. Just add some shins.
Just add shins!
Oh, my God. If you ever need a DIY project, just take regular chairs, apply some shin bones. You have bar stools.
Much taller. Done.
Cheaper, too. Just locally source the shin bones. I'm sorry. Remember how I said I'm insensitive? Yeah.
This is amazing.
He had a refrigerator full of human organs, a decorative bracelet made out of human skin.
You know, just casual.
He just wanted to make his own accessories. He had a belly button, earrings too.
Great.
Sure.
Perfect. Why the fuck not?
Because he could.
Just because he could.
He also had a drum made out of a coffee can and human flesh stretched across the top. Because he could.
Just because he could.
So all of this was photographed by the police and then destroyed at the crime lab. But for some of it, they couldn't do that because they found out some of the remains were from Catholics. So they got their own burial.
Right.
However, I did read something from someone that works in a lab, that actually was working in the lab during the time that they actually brought Ed Gein to do a polygraph test. And he said that the lab actually still had some of this evidence in a store closet. They just didn't keep it with the rest of the evidence because it was so fucking weird.
Right.
But he said that this evidence had not actually been destroyed, but I only found one account of that, so...
I hope it's been destroyed.
I hope it's been destroyed, otherwise it's just in a storage closet somewhere in a crime lab.
That smell?
Well, apparently he tanned and he tanned all this skin like a cow. Leather.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so, oh, great. That's good.
Yeah.
Where did he get all of this skin? Are you getting there?
You are getting there.
Okay.
So,
just casually has a million body parts. It's fine.
So, Mary Hogan, the one they found the face, was actually a tavern owner in the town, and she went missing in 1945. He confessed that he had shot her, but he doesn't remember much of the murder otherwise.
Okay.
He kind of blacked it out.
Okay.
Or he says he blacked it out. And the thing with both Bernice and Mary is that both of them were middle-aged women who had very similar body types to his mother. So we can guess as to how he was picking out his victims.
Yep.
But he swears that these are the only two murders he actually committed.
Okay.
Most of his crimes gained notoriety because he admitted to taking over 40 visits to three local graveyards between the years of 1947 and 1952 to exhume recently buried bodies. Where he said that he was in, like, a daze-like state and would come out of this state on 30 of those visits, and he would leave and put the grave back together in, air quotes, back in good order. But other times he would find graves in the middle. He specifically looked for the graves of middle-aged women that also resembled his mother and bring the bodies home and tan their skins and make things out of them, like trophies or weird mementos.
So he's just, like, the fucking king of mommy issues. This is, like, the biggest mommy issues I've ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
So, he's a fucking grave robber.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Which carries some sort of criminal penalty, no?
Yeah.
All right.
It's very much frowned upon.
Yeah. Yeah, don't steal people's bodies from graves.
Yeah.
Or anywhere, really.
You know, I don't
just
think you should
leave other people alone.
I don't think you should have access to a body, period.
Right. Like, what are you doing?
Well, apparently he would, like, watch the newspapers for obituaries for...
He's like, that lady looks like my mom.
Well, he would, like, some of these people he even knew in life before they died.
That's creepier. Somehow that's creepier.
Yeah. Well, he would watch the newspapers for any obituaries of people that recently died and look for if they would announce when the funeral would be taking place.
Okay.
So that way he would make sure that same day he's gonna go. They're gonna get buried that night. He's going and digging them up.
These places didn't have fucking security guards? Don't cemeteries have security guards now?
Yeah.
Is this why?
I don't know. I don't know if it's because of him, but it surely seems like at this point they didn't give a fuck.
Right. They're like, eh, they're fine.
Oh, wow, there's a guy out there. He's got a shovel. I wonder what he's doing.
Right?
Oh, God. Like, he's got something over his shoulder. He's putting it in his car, and he's gone.
This is probably normal.
That's fine. but he gave 9 graves that he was willing to tell them that he had stolen from.
Mm-hmm.
And the police didn't believe that he, as one person, could do this within one night.
Right.
So... They work. Went and checked a couple of graves that he said that he had stolen from. They dug up one grave. All there was inside of it was a crowbar. The second grave that they opened up, it was empty.
But so see, they're I told
like,
you.
They're like, oh, fuck, you did.
They tested him and they were wrong.
Yeah. I was really hoping they would test him. They'd just be like, Betty Lou in her grave. Completely fine. And they're just like, oh, shit.
But nope.
Nope.
Just a crowbar and nothing.
Yep. So, the time that he started creating this mammary vest...
Oh my god.
Was apparently really close to when his mother died. And the reason he gave that he wanted to build this, because it is something that he wore. He would put on this vest, he would put on the stockings, put on the mask... And say that he would walk around his house. Some people said that he would walk around his property in this getup. And he wanted to become his mother. And, like, literally crawl inside of her skin.
Totally normal. That's fine.
And that doing these things would bring him gratification. And... with his obsession with the female genitalia and the vulva in the box, he sometimes would put the vulva into a pair of panties that he owned and would wear them along with his skin suit and further pretend to be a female.
Okay. Yeah, that's... Oh my god! What the fuck? I can't even play that off like your average show would do that. That's fucked up. I mean, all of it's fucked up, but what the fuck?
The vulva is the part that bothers me.
The vulva's too much. The vulva's too much. Skin, not the skin mammary legs, vest. That's fine.
Skin legs.
Skin mammary leggings, vest. Mammary vest, whatever. Fine.
Female like, face masks.
Vulva?
Vulva.
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 I don't even know my own joke.
Vulva.
Great. Vulvas?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I'm going to be hung up on that for a while.
That's okay. I did research on this for a week, and somewhere in my search history is vulva.
Great.
Ed Gein vulva.
Ed Gein vulva.
The horrible part is I know for a fact that on Etsy there are people that make
replicas
of the evidence so people can buy it. So, like, you can buy, like, a replica.
Here's a replica
face
vulva.
Skin mask. Like, lampshade. And, like, some people made replica mammary vests. Of course it's all made out of silicone and
still not human skin.
But it's, like, Halloween prop type stuff. Or, like, I guess there was also a haunted house that made one of those electronic animatronic things after Ed Gein.
Also creepy, but...
But, yeah.
Oh, God.
You can find all of this stuff on Etsy as replicas, and it's horrifying. I have been tempted to buy the bone dice a few times.
That's different than, like...
Yeah!
Would you like some titties on a vest?
Yeah, it's like, here's a pair of dice that he apparently carved out of a kneecap.
Right, like... Okay.
I know for a fact that you, Etsy owner, have made it out of wood, and there's just a weird sentiment behind it.
Fine.
This is a face mask made out of human skin that he put lipstick on and wore around while wearing a vulva and some panties.
Fucking stop it.
I can't.
Back to the stop making weird art after murderers?
Yeah.
Yeah, stop doing that.
I guess if you're making, like, Halloween animatronics
that
are going to be based off of it. That makes sense. Don't, please,
just to make
God,
this shit?
Don't make a mammary vest.
Who's buying this that you keep making it?
I think it's probably just one person that made a one-off and somebody bought it.
Oh, God. Alright. Well, there needs to be a watch list for that person.
this guy is one of my favorite serial killers. And I'm still disturbed by half of this shit.
You're fucking gross, man.
The wolves.
Oh, God.
But, you know, at one point the police did ask him if he had sex with any of the bodies, if he was a necrophiliac. And his response is no, that he had it, but the reason he gave was that they smelled too bad.
No shit, they're bodies. A.
I'm just fucked up over the part that's the only thing stopping him. The smell.
That's fair.
If they had been, you know, fresh new bodies that didn't have no smell.
Sure.
He's like, yeah, sure, I'll just fuck it.
It's fine. I'll fuck it. It's fine.
I'd fuck that.
But, like, of course, if someone's like, hey, are you a necrophile? And they're like, no! Who would say yes to that question? Dahmer. Never mind. I answered my own question.
Oh, fuck. But... Remember the kids I mentioned that he babysat at the beginning?
Oh, was he gonna kill him?
No. Okay. Luckily.
Oh, God.
There was a 16-year-old that used to... Like, Ed used to take him to baseball games when he was babysitting him.
Mm-hmm.
And when he and his friends had gone by the house... Because no one was ever allowed in his house, for obvious reasons.
Right.
They would peek in through the windows, and they saw shrunken heads... And Ed had told them that they were shrunken heads that were sent to him in World War II by a cousin that was stationed in the Philippines.
Okay.
So he tried to explain that one away, but when the police did testing on it, it turned out that those were just older skins that had shrunken up, and because he had also peeled them off the victims and they were not just moistured, so they shrunk up.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
But because of all the bodies, doesn't match up with the number of, you know, grave robbings he said he did. Obviously, he did way more.
Right.
He was considered a suspect for a ton of other disappearances of, like, there was a farmer that was shot or, you know, had died in a deer hunting accident.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know if that person was, but most of his bodies seem to be all female. There was a teenager that went missing. There was another younger girl that went missing. And when they asked him about those specifically, he said, no, I would never, would, you know, do that to those girls.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's the question of the younger girl dress that they found, mm-hmm. and the younger vulva that they found, which is also something that's really fucked up and I can't stop thinking about in this case. But this was such a shocking thing to everyone in the community because they thought it was something that he could not have done. But it also caused so much anger because this is their loved ones that he is digging up and...
Right, desecrating.
Desecrating. That sheriff, his name is Sheriff Art Shelley, actually assaulted Gein during questioning and would beat his face repeatedly into a brick wall, trying to get answers out of him. Obviously that didn't work.
Right.
It just scared him more because he's already, he already doesn't have it's a little bit like age regression that he has, or he mm-hmm. doesn't quite act like an adult. So it just scared him and made him cry.
Like torture later. Doesn't work, really.
Yeah, so. And then later on, this sheriff actually died of a heart attack. Because, and the deputy sheriff at this time considers the sheriff another victim of Ed's because the heart attack was brought on by supposedly all of the trauma he had from seeing all that stuff.
Right.
And the stress of dealing with Ed Gein. Which I feel is...
That's fair.
Fair.
Yeah.
But any confession that he did get from Ed during this time was obviously dismissed because of the assault. Yeah. But when they went to try him, he was tried for first-degree murder, but he pled not guilty for the reason of insanity.
Mm-hmm.
And he was diagnosed as schizophrenic and mentally incompetent for a trial. So, there's some people that say that they don't feel like schizophrenic is a good diagnosis for him. Just because, you know, they felt like he didn't have the classical symptoms. But there's some people that knew him personally said that he would have, like, talked to himself sometimes, that he would seem to hear things.
Mm-hmm.
And later on, the diagnosis all the time that he was in mental facilities stuck. Like, it was never removed.
Oh, okay.
So I think he did have hallucinations. It said that he would smell, like, have smells that were hallucinations.
Okay.
Well,
it kind of makes sense, too, like, his affect...
Mm-hmm.
That, like, would fall under that as well. So.
Like, he couldn't keep eye contact and, like, odd laughing at things that other people couldn't hear.
Right.
There's, like, little things like that that kind of match this, but some people feel like he had a different diagnosis that they couldn't put on him at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the people of Plainsville were badly affected by this because not only has their family, you know, been desecrated, but this became a house of horror situation, so there were journalists coming from all over.
Yeah.
So they were coming to interview people, his house became like a tourist stop, and eventually there was an auction done of his property because they needed to settle the lawsuits of all these families.
Right.
So they were going to auction off his home, his car, everything inside. You know, it was just an estate auction. And there was a certain amount, I think it was like either 300 or 700, put on the side for his funeral whenever he would die.
Mm-hmm.
However, if it was death penalty or something. But the rest of the money would go to the families. And the family, when the auction day actually came up, mysteriously, the house was burned down the night before. And the firemen got lost on the way there. And people are like, no, it was a fucking arsonist.
Yeah.
But we're not going to say anything. Like, no one in the town claimed to know anything.
Uh-huh.
So day of, they just sold some stuff that they still had
uh-huh.
From the fire. And they sold Ed Gein's car. And when he was told about the fire while he was in jail, he said, just so.
Mm.
Like, he wasn't affected by it. He had no connection. And it wasn't until, like, the police were going through his home anyway did they find all those rooms that were sealed off.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were expecting the entire house to be, like, just
full
of bodies.
Yeah.
But they were just even more confused because those rooms were just
sealed.
They were musty, they were dusty, but that was it. They were completely sealed, like, the day she died.
Hmm.
But because he was marked as unfit for trial, he was sent to the Central State Hospital for the Criminally Insane, which is now known as Dodge Correctional Institution, and which is a maximum security facility, and then was later transferred to Mendota State Hospital. And about a decade later, in 1968, doctors determined that Ed Gein was mentally able to confer with counsel and participate in his defense. So trial began and lasted 1 week. The psychiatrist testified that Gein was, Gein had told him that he did not know if he had actually killed Bernice. At first he was saying it was accidental and that he had just been looking at a gun in the store, and it had accidentally gone off. But the author of a book called Deviant that I ordered because I am very excited to read it, and he is, like, the lead on this case, said that Gein had brought the bullet with him and asked to see one of the rifles and loaded the bullet when she wasn't looking and shot her. but, you know, Ed says that he wasn't sure if it was an accident or intentional. He doesn't know. He just knows that the gun went off when he wasn't meaning to point at Bernice. And after that, he doesn't remember anything.
Okay.
He just kind of blacks it out, just like he says with the grave robbings. He was in some sort of haze. And he doesn't remember anything else about that morning either. But the trial was that week held without a jury, and he was found guilty again. But a second trial the same day reviewed his sanity specifically and said that he was not guilty because of reason of insanity. So he was committed again to Central State Hospital for the Criminally Insane, and he stayed there until he was 77 and died of cancer. And that was in 1984.
Great.
But he was only ever tried for the murder of Bernice because they couldn't actually say for sure, even though he had her face in a bag.
Right.
They couldn't prove his other murder, that he had actually done it. And in that auction that was done for all of his stuff, his car was actually sold off to a carnival owner. And it was taken as a sideshow, and it was toured around the States. And he charged 25 cents for people to see his ghoul car, where he would haul bodies back from the grave. And, of course, that got him in a lot of trouble.
Right.
And then the car disappeared. They don't know where it went.
Great.
Yep. But I kind of wanted to delve more into the sex change operation that he was mentioning, because I thought it was weird that they would bring that up.
Right.
But he did mention later on in his psychiatric evaluations that he often felt his mother would have preferred if he had been born a girl rather than a boy. And she had raised both of the boys to be nothing like their father, and she felt detached from Henry when she had him, and she, like, did not want to have any sort of motherly connection to Henry. And then when Ed was going to be born, apparently she prayed and prayed and prayed to have a daughter, and then Ed was born.
Okay.
So she did have a lot better connection with Ed than she did with Henry, but she was hoping to have a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, because she wanted to try and raise a girl that was not...
The devil.
Not the devil.
Right.
he wondered if the sexual reassignment surgery would have... you know, they were saying that his gender identity disorder is something that they were saying it might have been, was not only from his mother's dominance, but also the messages that she had drilled into him about establishing female standards and conduct. So he was hoping that he could be that female role model to establish a means of conduct and standards.
So they think that he had gender dysphoria?
They think so, but I can't find too much on it.
Not a reason for his crimes.
Yeah. It's just, like, he mentioned it because it was in the newspapers and the magazines at the time, and then they're saying that maybe it was something brought on by his mother. And he just wanted to seek her approval and be, like, a good, God-fearing woman for his mother.
Oh, my God.
But when he did die, he was buried next to his family, right next to his mother.
Fitting.
But his headstone eventually got stolen.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's those people that want to go and visit the grave. And his gravestone had been vandalized, and a lot of people were, like, chipping chunks off of it because they wanted to see Vernier.
Yeah.
It was stolen and then eventually found again. Apparently a person that stole it was part of a metal band, and he was taking it around with him as, like, some, you know, like a main part of his show.
Yeah.
So the police went, got it back, and now apparently it's in a museum.
Okay.
But the only thing marking his grave now is just an empty plot and a small hole where people still go to collect dirt from his grave.
Great.
And I was...
fucking weird.
Yeah, it's fucked up because as I was looking for this, it was... there's an entire thing about... in Wisconsin, there's a thing called the Ed Tour or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, it's... if you're going to take a road trip, these are the places you have to go through town so that you can follow Ed Gein. And part of it is going to the where his land is. Mm-hmm. There's nothing there now, obviously. And where he is buried. But I don't...
interesting.
Yeah. But going on to the media portion of it... yeah, this is fun part. So... Psycho.
Okay, yeah.
Norman Bates with his mommy issues. He actually, the guy that wrote that, I can't remember if he's the one that actually lived in Wisconsin while this was happening. So either that or he heard about it from his grandmother. So he, at least the book portion mm-hmm. of it, is heavily, heavily based off of Ed Gein.
Okay.
You know, mommy issues, all of that. Like, even in the book, he's supposed to be an older man rather than in the movie where he's younger.
Mm-hmm.
But in the book he is the older, you know, bottle glasses older man that we see Ed Gein as. Deranged, Light of the Moon, Hitchcock, House of a Thousand Corpses, and Devil's Rejects.
That's interesting
because of the cannibalism.
Right.
As I said, even though he's not a cannibal, they heavily took from Ed Gein for that. Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Leatherface, specifically.
Okay. I thought that might be one.
Silence of the Lambs, Buffalo Bill, because he was creating a meat suit.
Right.
I've
never actually seen that movie.
Oh, it's hilarious. American Horror Story, we were talking about this a little bit earlier, In Asylum. Dr. Oliver Threderson, a.k.a. Bloody Face.
Yes, Zachary Quinto.
So he is that. Motel Hell. And then apparently Friday the 13th is a little bit based off of it because of Jason with his mom and just how
fucked
the
up
mommy
it is.
Issues with that.
Yeah.
I added Outlast onto this list because Outlast is one of my favorite games, and I did not see this on any main list that lists media that's influenced by Ed. But the character is Eddie Gluskin, and Ed Gein, they share initials. If you look at the characters, they look exactly the same.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you showed me this, and they really do look
They look exactly the same. A lot of the stuff is very, very similar. He also has mommy issues.
Didn't the writer even say, like,
yeah,
this is about Ed Gein?
Yeah, they specifically pointed out that this is related to Ed Gein. Because he had mommy issues, was abused by his father, and all he wanted was a, you know, decent girl.
Mm-hmm.
And
great.
Was willing to mutilate men to make them into the perfect girl.
Great.
Yay! We love Ed Gein and we love video games.
Jesus.
So yeah, that was what I have of Ed Gein.
Alright.
He's
fucked up.
It's fucked up. It's an oldie and...
great.
He's considered a serial killer even though he's only officially killed two people. But
fantastic.
Apparently you can get that title by digging up corpses.
A shitload of corpses.
A shitload of corpses. And doing horrible things to the corpses. Not fucking them, apparently. Just
thinking about it, but then smelling them, and then, you know, nah.
Just make a mammary vest, and you're a serial killer.
It's great. Okay, so next week, I think we'll be doing... I think I'm gonna do Richard Trenton, a.k.a. the Vampire of Sacramento.
I'm excited!
Which is gonna be super interesting.
I'm gonna get in so much trouble for my comments!
And then, I think after that, we're gonna, move a little bit more to paranormal things and just kind of go in a cycle of, like, here's what's interesting to mm-hmm. us right now. And, I mean, obviously come back to crime, because... Yeah, no shit.
That's why we're here.
Right. And conspiracy and cults.
Oh, cults.
All the things. So make sure you are sticking around, following on Spotify, following on SoundCloud.
Yep.
Whatever gives you notifications that we did a thing. And
yeah. And we have an email if you want to send us any suggestions or if we get any information wrong, please correct us. Because we're at notamonsternotaboogeyman@gmail.com if you want to send us stuff.
Yeah, and we'd love to hear from people and be told that we're wrong or fucked up or
correct
whatever.
Correct us.
But that's all we got for you guys this week. So we will see you next week.
Okay, see you. Bye.
Bye.